I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to look at verse 8. First Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Above all things, that is in front of everything, have without ceasing fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall hide or veil the multitude of sins. That is the whole number. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Now, you know, if there's anything that we want to be cautious of right now, in light of that scripture, is looking at that verse of scripture and thinking that our love for one another, for the Lord, will atone for us. That is, will cause there to be friendship established again. Atonement, that's what. Reconciliation, friendship. An established, relationship before God again. That our charitable acts will atone for us before a just God. That's the very thing that the Lord warned us from thinking. He said in Matthew 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Didn't we preach? In thy name done many wonderful works, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So when we read a verse of scripture and it says that, charity shall cover the multitude of sins, don't look at yourself. Don't look at me. I tell you, it's by the grace of God that any sinner would be delivered from thinking that his self-righteous works will answer for him before God. Believers do have a genuine love for one another. That love that overlooks, disregards, and forgives the failings and frailties of others. But it's not consistent, is it? I wish it were. I wish it were in me. I wish I could say I just overlook everything, forgive everything, all the frailty, people, But I'm an utter failure when it comes to that. Oh, but in our love for one another, and believers do love one another. Now, don't think they don't. Believers love the Lord. That's what Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. But don't put any confidence in it. That's just a false confidence. But in our admitting of our frailty, let's look away from ourselves and look to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His perfect obedience in the consideration of that scripture right there. Here's what the scripture says. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. God is love. God is love. God is love. Charity. Christ shall cover the multitude of sins. Not us. Not us. Now I want you to go with me for a few minutes concerning the setting forth of what this scripture is talking about right here. Overlooking the frailties, hiding, covering, the inconsistencies of the Lord's people. I want you to go with me to the Garden of Gethsemane. Turn with me to Matthew 26. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read something out of Jeremiah 31, reminding us. Matthew 26, and hold your place right there. Remember the words of God Almighty to His people. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old, or that is, from afar unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Charity covereth a multitude of sins, hides a multitude of sins. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Love never fails. Love absolutely, true love. Absolutely consistent. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Reason I drew you to myself. Reason I've covered the sins. Reason I've never changed. Because I love you. Jesus, John 13:1, knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. I want us to look now, Matthew 26. And here's our Lord. And he's in the garden with his disciples. And the scripture says in verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful, very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Here's what he said. Here's my first point. Here's a tender word of instruction with a tender request. Here's what the Lord said in verse 38. He said, tarry ye here and watch with me. I want you to stay. And that word tarry, stay awake. That's what it means. Stay awake. Now, spiritually, this is the Lord's word to his people. Stay awake. Spiritually, be vigilant. Be watchful with me. His soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And here he is in the garden. And if he's not already been made sin, he soon shall be made sin. And he knows it. He knows what. This is the cup. Father, if there's any way, this cup can pass from me. That is, not to go to the cross. Not to die. That wasn't it. Being made sin. Forsaken of the Father. If there's any way, this cup, pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will be done. Judas is going to forsake him, deny him, turn him over. He's going to be taken and mocked and spit on. But oh, the cup of being made sin. He who knew no sin. He who was the only one that ever walked this earth that ever knew really what sin was. I don't even know what it is. I don't know what it is. I know something of the effects of it. I can see something of the presence of it. I don't even know what it is. But I can tell you whatever it is, he did. He knew. He knew. Is there any way? And so here he says, tarry with me. Stay here. Sympathize with me. Unite with me. Be an alert. Prepare yourself for approaching dangers. Look at verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that you don't enter into the temptation to deny me. Stay awake. Stay awake. What a request from him who spoke this world into existence and opposed all things by the word of his power. All power given unto him that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. All powerful. Here's God Almighty humbling himself. No man ever humbled himself but the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not an ounce of humility in any of us. All of us proud. Boastful. And he humbled himself. Here is the lowest. Made himself the lowest. He that is least, he said, in the kingdom of God, that's him. Shall be the greatest. That's him. And here's what he says, tarry with me, watch with me. What a tender request from him who said to his people, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Man, a true friend wants to say that to a friend. I won't leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I know in me, I don't have that ability to do that. I know that. Oh, I know this. Without a doubt, he was compassed with indescribable agony and travail of soul when he was about to drink the cup of God's wrath being made sin for his people. Father, if it doesn't have to be this way, nevertheless, not my will. Well, what a request. Now I want you to look with me for a minute at a pitiful exhibition of obedience. Pitiful, pitiful. This is every one of us now. I mean, we can look at these disciples and say, I don't see how they could have done it. I do. Yeah, I do. Look at verse 40. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He cometh unto his disciples, and listen to the wording. He findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter. Now what an earnest appeal. He addresses Peter particularly. And with Peter's rash boasting, zeal, self-confidence, he had said before, though everybody else forsake you, I'll die with you. I'll never forsake you. Never. I'll never forsake you. Well, let's look at that verse of Scripture one more time. He cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Peter was asleep. He's asleep. And here's the Lord speaking to him. Speaking to this one that was so such a braggart, so bold, so outward in his promise, faithfulness, and he's asleep. And the Lord's talking to him while he's asleep. But let me ask you this. Is this not the common sin of all God's people in this world? What believer will not say, as the Shulamite in Song of Solomon 5, 2, and 3, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drop of the night. And here's what the church says. Well, I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Is that not the most embarrassing thing to have to admit? Here's the church. Here's what she says. I sleep, but my heart is awake. Pity the man that thinks himself to be able to stay faithful, to possess and to exercise fervent, unceasing charity. Every believer is going to say, Lord, I've never been faithful 1 hour. No, not even from the time that I was converted. I've never been faithful 1 hour. Not with an unceasing, unchanging, immovable charity. No. But in the very hour of their failure, and here's my third and last point, behold the blessed exhibition of His love. That appeal, watch with me. Stay awake. Stay awake. That pitiful exhibition, secondly, of our faithfulness. But that indescribable exhibition of His love for His people. He said, I won't forsake you. I won't forsake you. Hear the words of love and tenderness from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 42-43. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and found them asleep again. Doesn't necessarily say they woke up. He just came and found them again asleep. Their eyes were heavy. He left them, went away again, prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. 45, verse 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. I looked up that word, sleep, there, and it actually means two different things. And I can see both things in a believer. It means a natural sleep. Go to sleep. I mean, you're asleep. Just naturally speaking. But here's the second thing it means. To be indifferent to salvation. To be indifferent to salvation. Hold your place right there and look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. I know a believer will say, oh, I would never, no, I would never be indifferent to my salvation. Oh, really? I would never show any inconsistencies concerning my salvation. I would never look at my salvation as being something that I don't give total, absolute, attention to. I've never been indifferent. Oh, really? 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us. Now, do you realize who Paul is talking to when he says us? He's talking to believers. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Don't let ourselves become indifferent. Others do. Don't do that. He would have never told us not to do it if the propensity was not there. What did the Shulamite say? I sleep, but my heart's awake. And I know. I think of the frailty of my flesh that looks at me and says, Lord, forgive me for my indifference. I wish I could say that I have never deviated in my thankfulness, appreciation, confidence, but I have. Then the Lord spoke to him. Verse 46, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Here's the shepherd who has said, sleep on, verse 45, and take your rest. You rest in me. Don't rest in yourself. He had asked them to just stay awake with him. Stay awake and watch. And they went to sleep. He spoke to Peter while Peter was asleep. Then he told him, he said, take your rest. Rest in the Savior with a patient expectation. And lastly, after his betrayal and the pitiful trial before Pilate that he willingly endured, he went to the cross. And even at the cross, this is what he prayed, not for everybody, but for those that were there that knew him and would know him. There were some that were there. Here was his prayer. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They do not know what they're doing. Job 15, verses 14, 16. What is man that he should be clean? And he that is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water? I'm here to tell you, there's not one thing that we can say about ourselves that has any merit. Paul says, I see in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ who prays for his own, who loved him to the end, who knows that we are dust. Praise and honor and glory unto him who is worthy, unto him whose charity for his people has covered a multitude of sins. Lord, may I be found in that number. And may I say once again, salvation is of the Lord. It's by the grace of God that we know anything. Bless the word to our heart. Amen. Let's take about a 10-minute break.